Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts, sports journalist David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves, chillin', talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd. It's Season 8, Episode 36. It's Bengals Week. And Dave, another great Thursday night game last night. And, I feel like I'm running against the tide in saying the NFL this year has been more fun and more interesting than in most years that I remember. And a lot of it's due to the fact that we have unanticipated results and we see the Chiefs jump out to 5-0, the only undefeated team, and now two losses. That game last night was significant. Obviously, the Steelers have a huge divisional game against the Bengals this week. And if the Steelers win, they now, well, look, we're not even halfway through the season, but for what it's worth, they would be in the driver's seat in the AFC.
Yeah, boy, how things can change, and you're right. It has been a great season so far. One thing I was thinking about after last night's game, wanting to go back, had a note for myself to try to research, is how many games this year, let's say with 6 minutes remaining in them, are just a one-score game, meaning 8 points or less. It just goes to show you. Is there more parity in the league right now than ever before? I mean, I think you can probably go back to the last few seasons and probably say, you're going to have your outliers like the Patriots and whatnot, and maybe teams like the Packers or whatnot. But it just seems like every game, or not every game, a lot of games really come down to, the final six or so minutes there, to see what offenses can do. And last night was a perfect example of that. That game last night, I was amped up before that game started.
I could tell from the direct message you sent me about your pick of the Raiders as you sang the autumn wind to me.
I don't know if it's just, kind of had things cleared out. And on game days, especially when the Steelers play, mid-afternoon, I get to watch a little bit of the early games, obviously, but you're prepping things for the Steelers game. And then after the Steelers game happens, if it's, a late afternoon start, as was the case last week,
which is going to be the case the rest of the year.
Right. Then you're writing and trying to get content up, and then you can't really watch pay close attention to the Sunday night game. And then hopefully if you got things tied up, maybe you can watch the Monday game. But then, of course, most of my beginning of the next week, I'm trying to catch up on all the games around the league that happened, trying to go through the compact view on them on Game Pass there. So, what a game. Like I said, I was thoroughly pumped up to see that game last night. And boy, did it delivered. Now, not if you don't, if you like games that include great defensive play, throughout, then that probably was
good officiating.
That game wasn't for you, but I was afraid to take my eyes away from the TV.
Yeah, it was definitely a fun game. It exposed, I think, some of the weaknesses in the Chiefs. It exposed some of the weaknesses with the Raiders. Obviously, we know their defense is their issue. If you hadn't seen much Tony Romo, you got a full dose of him last night. And again, I thought he did an exceptional job. You see his focus on clock management at the end of each half, which is unusual to hear guys, get so focused on that. And that's obviously music to my ears when guys are doing that. And you just saw the up and down nature of the league now is just so apparent. And when you said, is it parity? What is it? I don't know. Is it the rule changes overall? Is it the fact that there are a lot of good quarterbacks? Is it the fact that there are very few great quarterbacks? I mean, I'm not quite sure what the answer is, but it certainly makes it a lot more fun when, a team like Jacksonville or the Jets or the Rams or pick the Buffalo, whoever it is, basically when they're playing on Sunday, they can beat any team in the league. I mean, not that they're likely to beat any team in the league. And we've seen now road teams and home teams, I think, are 500 this year. That's a big change. The road teams have been very good. It just seems like, you know, it really, hate to use the oldest cliche in the NFL, but on any given Sunday.
Yeah, that's why I keep going back to there's no such thing as a trap game in the NFL. Every week's a trap game in this league. Is the quarterback play? Every year you have the haves and the have-nots, it seems like. But now you have, look at the class of 2004 specifically this year. It hasn't been great when it comes to quarterbacks, right?
That's being generous.
Yeah, obviously the Giants have had some injuries, but even without those injuries before all those wide receivers went down, Manning didn't look great. Phillip Rivers is just a guy now. You're not seeing highlights on a weekly basis with him. And the same, obviously, with Ben Roethlisberger off to as you like to keep saying, a pedestrian start to this season here. Brady has not looked his best at times, even though he's still probably easily, now that Aaron Rodgers is injured, still the top quarterback in the league. Matt Ryan has shown a few kind of deficiencies so far this season. So yeah, it becomes a very kind of middling pack, if you will, when it comes to the quarterback position, at least right now. And then with all these rookies starting to take over, you know, they're going to have their problems. Jameis hasn't really been great this year. Cam has had his moments. Now, obviously, you got guys like Watson in Texas with the Texans. It's been kind of a breath of fresh air at the quarterback position goes. But, you know, as Ben Roethlisberger likes to say, when you look at these first and second year quarterbacks, let's give them a couple years. Look at Dak Prescott. That's a good example. Dak's not the same Dak that he was last season there. So I don't know what it is, but what it is doing is it's making in any given Sunday situation so far this season.
I'll tell you, what's interesting is as we become more sophisticated in our use of analytics and metrics to measure performance, look for a running back or a wide receiver, yards per carry, yards per game, average yards per catch, all these things, they're not going to change much. We try to get a better sense of, drops and things like that, that'll do a little bit more. And for defensive players, I think we're getting better at looking at cornerbacks, because cornerbacks are almost the only position where you can talk about individual play outside of the team concept. You really can't do it for anybody else. Sacks is a nice metric, but even that is, you're part of a scheme and what you're doing. So it's harder to find defensive metrics. But Dave, QBR, I think we've taken a step forward away from passer rating, because it tries to take in a wide variety of game issues rather than just simply some statistics, and tries to contextualize those statistics, which I think is which is always a positive when you're trying to think about things. And I'm sitting here and I'm pulling up the QBR ratings for this year. But it's very interesting that to this point in the season, and again, it's early on in the season, but the guys at the top of the total QBR list, and unfortunately my page isn't loading, but if I remember, I was looking at this last night. I think it is Deshaun Watson. I think it's Dak is maybe number two. Tom Brady's right up there. And the guys, here it is. Deshaun Watson, Dak's number two. Carson Wentz is three. Then it's Brady, Alex Smith, Cousins, Case Keenum, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Marcus Mariota. That's your top 10. Your 11 through 14 is Breeze, Newton, Carr, Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson. Those five guys are certainly guys that everybody would put in the top 10 NFL quarterbacks. But when we talk about who are the best quarterbacks in the league, there are two ways to talk about it. Who are the best quarterbacks over time? Well, then you throw in guys like Roethlisberger and Rivers and whatever you think of Eli Manning. He's not on my list, but maybe Cam. But you need to look at it each year and kind of clean the slate. And Greg Rosenthal does a good job of that on NFL.com, kind of breaking down each quarterback each week and trying to give a ranking of how they're playing this year. And you get a different view of things. And that's what I think is interesting this year, is we're seeing that. And, guys are generally where most guys are generally where you think they are, but not all of them.
Yeah, and you know, along with QBR, I think when you look at entire offenses and their passing game, the adjusted net yards per passing attempt stat, let me read you the top seven teams when it comes to highest of that number. It's the Chiefs. Probably not surprised there. Then the Patriots, number two. Then the Redskins. A little bit of a surprise considering second-year quarterback at number four is the Rams. Nice, healthy 7.6 adjusted net yards per passing attempt number. Then the Saints. So that's not surprising with Breeze there. Then Wentz and the Eagles at number six. And then maybe a bit of surprise, a little bit half Bradford, half Case Keenum, the Vikings at number seven there. So in total, you have eight teams with over a 7.0 adjusted net yards per passing attempt number. And keep in mind that that stat keeps revolves around total attempts, touchdown passes, interceptions, and sacks as well. So, you know, if you were to kind of marry that along with some QBR, you probably get a better picture of you know, what passing games are better. Now, does QBR take encompass, you know, what a quarterback does with his feet as well?
Yes, that's a big part of it, obviously.
And see, you know, that's where Watson and guys like Dak and
– Yep. And Alex Smith. I mean, it's a real part of the game, and to not incorporate it into quarterback play is, you know, it's better to incorporate it. Let's put it that way.
And just look at you want a good reflection. You know, I don't know what Roethlisberger's QBR number is, but the Steelers are 20th overall in the league right now when it comes to adjusted net yards per passing attempt at 5.4. That's extremely low for a guy like Roethlisberger. So that, you know, that kind of shows you that the passing game. And we, you know, we can boil it down to a lot of things. Third downs with Roethlisberger. And deep balls, and when those two things start firing up, if they start firing up, then you know the Steelers are going to be a very dangerous team, I think, with that defense that they have right now. So, you know, with plenty of the season left. We can, as we saw last year, these stats can flip. During a second half of the season, the Steelers' defense was a prime example of that when it comes to the adjusted net yards per passing attempt level. But, yeah, this Steelers' offense has to start playing better here pretty soon. And, boy, would it be a good time to do so this Sunday at Heinz Field against the Bengals.
Yeah, let me throw something out at you. And for our listeners that, you know, we don't usually do much of this, but this is for a little entertainment value. I'll still stand by, you know, I've said for a couple of years now that I expect Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger to both be the Steeler quarterback and head coach and quarterback in 2020. Tomlin, I'd bet all of Dave's money on it. Ben, obviously that door got opened a little bit this offseason. Dave, if Ben Roethlisberger has said to Art Rooney, this is going to be my last year. If you had the choice of signing Kirk Cousins to a 5-year, you know, NFL quarterback deal, you know, let's say, you know, whatever that is, $25 million a year, just whatever the contract would be, market rate, or trading a second round pick for Alex Smith and let's say signing him, you know, for the next 3 years, would either of those or, you know, trying to find a guy in the draft, which I don't know that you'd go that way, but if you had the choice of those two guys for the next 3 to 5 years, who would you prefer?
Roethlisberger's is still in the picture, or no? Or are we assuming?
No, he just said he's retiring. That's the whole point.
Okay. Look, I mean, Smith has had a great year, but I think Andy Reid and things that they're in the personnel and the way they do things there has played a big role in that. Alex Smith has got to still do it for a full season for me, if you know what I mean. But there's no denying that he's done, you know, fabulous work this year. Cousins, you know, I haven't focused a lot on his play this year. He obviously can work the deep ball, and I think you need to have the deep ball in this league. I really do. And he, in my opinion, long-term, I would rather have him long-term over a guy like Smith. But And then, look, the Steelers had interest in Cousins way before that draft, you know, so there was some interest there. But then you go back to would they spend that kind of money? Because, I mean, you're talking about, you know, top quarterback money there to get a guy like him. If you're forcing me to choose between Cousins and Smith, I would take Cousins.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I thought Alex Smith looked great throwing the deep ball last night, but I would take Cousins. I think he's more capable. I think Cousins is, you know, people keep waiting for Cousins to fail. And, you know, he's done surprisingly well. And you read that list of seven teams and the Skins are on there. And he was very good last year and his, you know, incredible completion percentage. And I think he's an intriguing guy, and he's not an old guy. Remember, he was drafted the same year as RG3 and Andrew Luck the season they came out. And he's, you know, believe it or not, obviously Luck due to injury largely, but he has been the most productive of those three guys going in the fourth round out of Michigan State. So he's still a young guy. I mean, a guy could play in the league for 10 more years, no big deal. I don't know exactly how old he is, but he's 27, 28 years old. So he's going to be an intriguing guy, and he's, you know, he's gotten to this point, so there's no reason he's not going to be on the market. And whether it's the Jets or the Browns or whomever, I mean, I find it highly unlikely that it'll be the Steelers, but he is, you know, he's going to get a king's ransom if he finishes out this year like he has. So interesting stuff. All right, so let's get on to the Bengals, Dave. And this is an interesting team. And just as a sidelight, I was looking, you know, look, people have different views on Pro Football Focus, and Dave and I have our own opinions, and neither of us are here to disparage what they do. Like everybody who works in the industry, they're putting their time in. You can agree or not agree with how they do it and the metrics they're doing it, the metrics that they use. But just like Dave on his site or the guys at Football Outsiders or whomever, I mean, these guys are working hard at what they do, and some people buy into it, some people don't. Dave, I thought it was interesting. You know, they, one of the things they do is they put lists together, and everybody likes lists and seeing where things are. I was interested to see that they ranked the defenses, and I didn't, you know, if you're not a premium member, you don't get to see every, you know, all the everything that goes into the sausage. But they ranked the defenses in the NFL, and I think they had the Steelers 17, the Bengals 18, and the Ravens 22, or something like that. And I guess, you know, I tweeted it out there just to get people's reaction to it. And obviously, all Steelers fans were, you know, appalled. But the thing that probably they lost a little credibility in suggesting that James Harrison, you know, the Steelers' best pass rusher is still in bubble wrap. I mean, there's a lot to say about James Harrison, but I don't think James Harrison is considered the Steelers' best pass rusher, but maybe some people disagree. But I was just curious to see that, Dave, because, you know, we think of all three of these teams. Maybe we didn't think of it as the Steelers originally, but all three of these teams, their strength right now is the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. I was a bit surprised to see them ranked that low. They've obviously had their struggles against a run this year more than anything, getting popped for big plays specifically. And then you have what you had happen in that game the other day, fourth quarter kind of secondary breakdowns where, you know, you had the DeAnthony Thomas big play, and then obviously the that breakdown that could have led to a touchdown from Alex Smith, forget who was it, Robinson, I think, over there on the left side.
Yeah, right, exactly. Who had a nice game last night?
Which, thank God, who was it? Hilton had some pressure on. Hilton had some pressure on, yep, that play specifically. And then, you know, how much do you factor in the opposing quarterback that, you know, that they face? I mean, it's easy to sit here and say that the Steelers haven't exactly faced murderer's row when it comes to opposing quarterbacks this year. And really, now that
QBR, just for the Kaiser, 32nd out of 32. Glennon, 31st out of 32. Flacco, 30th out of 32. Dalton this week is currently 27th. Bortles, 25th. And then the only guy that is of significance, Case Keenum's all the way up at number 7. And, you know, obviously Steeler fans, we all thought the Steelers were getting a break facing him instead of Sam Bradford.
And then, of course, Alex Smith up top.
Sorry, Alex Smith is 5th, yeah.
There. So, you know, you play who you play, right?
Yeah, you play who's on the schedule.
And then if you now look at, you know, we talked at the start of the year, Dave, we said, oh, man, the first half of this Steelers schedule, 7-1, you know, 6-2 at worst. Of course, we probably would have picked different two losses than what has already happened there. And then you look at the second half of the schedule and you think, okay, this, you know, you got the Packers, you got the Lions, you got the Patriots, and then of course the Ravens and the Bengals again there. That looked a lot tougher. Well, now that Aaron Rodgers has gone down. Now that it looks like the Steelers are going to get past maybe the Colts in a few more weeks without Andrew Luck, I don't know. Maybe this is going to flip flop the other way around there. But as long as this defense, you know, I guess it goes back to the where this defense is at now. We saw almost a complete performance against the Chiefs, and almost a complete performance will still get you beat if your offense isn't scoring points. And that almost happened on Sunday in Kansas City there. They played against the run much, much better. It's just those key defensive breakdowns late in games can really change the course of them. I would say easy top 10 defense, though, right now, in my opinion.
And you obviously, at the end of the day, what matters most is points against. The Bengals are second, the Steelers are fourth, and the Ravens are 11th. So, you know, that's worth something. And you think about that from the Steelers' perspective, and not that it's not true of other teams as well, but the Steelers gave up, you know, a couple touchdowns on returns there against the Jags. And then, you know, generally, you know, every team's got a little bit of that going in their defensive ranking. So something else to think about. Dave, when you look at the Steelers' offense.
Well, one other, while we're talking about defense there, Pro Football Focus also this past week had, you know, man coverages and all like that. And the Steelers are last in the league.
By far.
You know, and it's not even close, you know, there. And someone asked me on Twitter this morning, am I surprised by that? Not overly, because of, you know, they're getting pressures with their 4 and 3 man pass rushes. That helps. So that means you're not having to send, you know, either blitz, you know, with 3 or 4, sending an unknown guy. And B, you know, you're able to play, you know, the quality of quarterbacks that you're playing against allows you to play perhaps more zone. You're keeping a lid on things, and on top of it, teams have been able to run on the Steelers at certain points during this year. So that's going to, you know, going to make opposing offenses a bit more probably conservative at points of the game as well. Heck, I mean, the Jaguars, how many total pass attempts did Bortles attempt in that game? And he only completed 8 of them there. So not, you know, not a lot to go off of right there. So look,
Steelers have lost 2 games where the other team didn't complete 10 passes, right? I mean, didn't Glennon, wasn't he 9 of whatever he was?
Yeah, I forget exactly the stats on that. But there, look, I know people are going to say and say, well, that's not going to work against the Patriots. Yeah, everybody's right when they say that. But there's a time and place to break out things such as that. And you are going to see that at some point during the season. Hopefully, here's my hope. Hopefully you get into a position where that week 15 against the Patriots that you don't have to show all of your cards. Now, obviously, if it's a game that's going to decide home field advantage throughout the playoffs, which it quite possibly could, you've got to do everything that you can to play that game. But hopefully they're not going to have to show a lot of the things that they want.
It would be surprising if they got to that point in week 15. If it were 16, I would believe it, but with 2 games to go, well, with 3 games to go with that one being played, it would be quite a surprise if they had it locked up.
And then, of course, once you put a lot of that down on tape, then, you know, it's on tape. And then when you get into the playoffs, say you have to turn around and play a team like the Patriots or the Chiefs, then, you know, then you see what happens there. They're going, the fact of the matter is they're going to play some more man moving forward. It's just a matter of how much and when they have to do it, you know.
No doubt. And I think it was, I mean, I think the reason it's a little bit surprising is they suggested that they would do more of it, and you would think kind of you'd work that in as the season goes. And we're now, you know, we're six games into the season. So if you're going to play it, you'd think you'd be playing it some now. Now, some of it, as you said, a function of the quarterbacks they're playing, maybe the receivers that they're seeing in some of these games. You know, I would have thought against Jacksonville and Chicago with the lack of receiver talent and the, you know, the upgrade with Joe Hayden at corner, that you walk guys down in the box and play a little bit more, you know, whether you cover one or whatever you want to play, so that you can do more to stop the run game. Well, I mean, maybe that's some of that's hindsight, but we talked about that stuff before the games were played too. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes going forward.
Here's an interesting fact for you, right from the Steelers' own media stuff that they send out. You know, the NFL, of course, tracks their own stats, and the Steelers keep their own stats as well, too. And against Kansas City, they had a season high, 9 quarterback/hurry/pressures in that game. And that you know, like I said, that's a season high. So Vince Williams had 2. James Harrison had 2. 2 out of 15 snaps, and he didn't pass rush all 15 of those snaps. That's not a bad ratio there. 2 it had 2. Mike Mitchell had 1. Mike Hilton had 1. And Cameron Hayward had 1. Did you see that GIF that I put up? I'm going to continue to say GIF and GIF. That I put up of Stephon Tuitt from that game against the Chiefs. They're coming off of that off of the Steelers' right end on one of those pass rushes. He used that Harrison rip move and showed some bend there. He really looked like you had to really look and say, boy, is that a large James Harrison there or what? But the key, and as you know, we've talked quite a bit, and as the Steelers coaches will talk quite a bit, pressure and coverage go hand in hand. And this year we're seeing them able to win more with 4-man rushes and 3-man rushes. And that really, and getting that pressure and knocking quarterbacks off spots a lot quicker than they have in the past. And that, I think, has helped the secondary on top of it.
One more thing on the defense, the Bengals are 6th defensively in red zone percentage of touchdowns allowed at 43%. The Steelers are 19th at 57%. Here's the interesting stat of that, is the Steelers have given up 100% of the opportunities at home in the red zone. And I'm trying to think, Dave, the Jags TDs, they had the 2 interceptions. They had the 90-yard run by Fournette, and then they had the Fournette over the top. So that's the only touchdown I can remember in the Jags game. And then the other home game that they played was Minnesota. And Minnesota didn't score a touchdown? So the Steelers have only had 1 red zone opportunity against in the 2 home games? Is that
No. You remember that fullback got one after that long Cook run. Remember the fullback died?
Right. Dalvin Cook, they called it right. They called that back, and so they went for 2 on that. I was trying to think how they got their 9 points. So the Steelers have only given up 2 red zone opportunities at home. Now, I'm not sure how telling that is, but the other teams have scored on both opportunities. Something to watch just when you're paying attention to this Bengals game. Let's talk a little bit about the offense, Dave, and then we'll get into the injuries and what we expect. One of 2 choices here. Have we overrated the talent on the offense, or is the offense's lack of production not solely – but largely just able to put on Ben's shoulders, and if Ben plays well, then all this stuff goes away immediately?
You didn't want to say that that way, did you?
I didn't want to say it. I couldn't think of another way to say it while I was saying it.
Oh, I could tell. Early season with the run, just the offensive line. We weren't seeing a lot of space for Le'Veon Bell to run. A lot of penalty, a lot of offensive penalties hurt and still hurt right now. I mean, Juju leading the offense in penalties right now, if memory serves me. The failure to connect on some of those deep balls have hurt. Is it related to Martavis being out for a year? And then Ben hasn't totally been Ben this year. On top of it, Vance McDonald not making offensive plays up until this past week. Not a lot of great yak other than guys named Antonio. It seems like as Antonio and Le'Veon Bell goes, so goes the offense. And even that is not producing a lot of points on the scoreboard. Just look at the red zone percentages. You know, this offense has moved the ball at times down the field.
No question.
It's just when they get inside that red zone area, they're not coming away with touchdowns at a rate that's acceptable. And in doing so, especially early in some of these games, it would have changed the entire complexion of the games against Chicago, against the Jaguars, against Cleveland early in the season, Baltimore. You know, you've got to start putting that foot on the throat of teams in the first half of games and getting them out of what they like to do. The sooner you can get an opposing offense out of what they want to do, then you can kind of, your defense isn't guessing as much either. So it's a combination, but yeah, Ben has played a big role in this. We pointed out several times over the last couple of weeks of, you know, key plays that we feel he should have been able to make.
Fair enough. okay. So before we get into the matchups, the injury report, not great, I would say, on getting the Thursday injury report. Three guys missed their second day. I think it's understood here Marcus Gilbert's not going to go. We talked about that on Monday and Wednesday. So he's going to get ruled out today. And then, Dave, you've got Stephon Tuitt, who missed two practices with the back. And I don't think any of us have a good sense of this because Mike hasn't laid it out and, you know, it wasn't really talked about on Tuesday. So, you know, back injuries, backs are, you know, tough things to deal with. Anybody who's had a back injury knows. And history, just as a simple guide, if guys don't practice Wednesday and Thursday, they typically don't play. Doesn't mean it's impossible. Ramon Foster went in a game a few weeks ago where he didn't really go Wednesday or Thursday at all. So it's happened. So we'll see what to it. That to me is a wild card. And Dave, I'll guess Vince Williams won't go as his hip injury has kept him out for 2 days. And Matakevich is gone both days. So I'm going to assume that we're going to have two guys out and flip a coin, whatever you want, on Stephon Tuitt.
Yeah, I would be shocked if Gilbert plays for obvious reasons. Vince Williams, boy, when he sure is active on Twitter late in afternoons, what does that probably tell you?
He's got some free time.
He's probably sitting there getting treatment, right?
Yeah, probably, right? Probably, yeah.
That's my best analysis there with him. At this point, where of course things can change in a hurry, I will be surprised if Vince Williams plays. As you said, Stephon Tuitt, I mean, you know, even we said we try to start off every week saying, you know, we don't know what surprises are going to pop up. Even after Mike Tomlin talks on Tuesday, Tuitt was that guy this week. Boy, they really could use him in this game too. And that's a Captain Obvious statement there. It does sound like though Pouncey's going to play. Ramon Foster, after a one game absence, is going to make it back with that back injury. And it sounds like Tyler Matakevich is fine with that shoulder injury and probably going to and would get the start if Vince Williams is inactive. So, I don't even know where to begin to guess on Tuitt. Gilbert and Williams, I think, will be inactive. If Tuitt is inactive, that means McCullers dresses in his place. A few of the other inactives, Justin Hunter, Dobbs. You won't need an extra
Grimble, potentially Grimble. And then, you know, you got, and then, yeah.
Then Williams possibly. And if not Williams, do you still dress an extra linebacker? You know, it could go either way. I'm less thinking that a guy like Jordan Dangerfield will be promoted on Saturday. But, it's still a possibility. It's so curious the fact that they they didn't waste any time signing Jordan Dangerfield to the practice squad on Monday and swapping out a safety for him. So that still has me kind of scratching my head right there. But once again, it could be just because, hey, his time is up from the injury settlement. Let's get him back in here as soon as we can, you know, type of situation. But going to be interesting to see what happens Friday with a guy like Tua in practice.
Okay, so
what about that Bengals injury report? That's probably where we need to go next. Adam Pac-Man Jones, limited on Wednesday, did not go at all on Thursday. He had left that game against the Buffalo Bills prior to their bye week with that back injury, tried to come back in, had to leave and leave for good. That could wind up being a pretty big element of this week's game if he doesn't play. Who do you start on the outside in this place? Vincent Jackson III or Denard? Denard's probably your better slot guy. So what happens if a guy like Vincent Jackson has to play outside? And if neither of those guys, Kirkpatrick or Jackson, travel with a guy, you might be able to get some tasty matchups with AB on one side, and then you have to, of course, make sure you bracket him thoroughly. That really could set up some interesting one-on-ones with Dre Kirkpatrick, who, by the way, is battling back from a shoulder injury against a guy like Martavis Bryant.
Yeah, it's
and this is a great Bengals. Make no mistake about it. This Bengals defense is good, and I think, David, believe it or not, I think opposing teams have only thrown deep on the Bengals 16 times in total through five games, and Aaron Rodgers is responsible for six of those deep pass attempts. So they have been, either teams have shied away from it, or they're just overly tough and teams don't want anything to do with it, because they've got some great safeties over there as well too. So this, you better pick your spots when you go deep on them, regardless of what cornerbacks play.
Yeah, I agree with you. This Bengals defense is going to be a good challenge for the Steelers. You know, again, I'll come back to it. Historically, Ben's not played great against this defense, and they've played, you know, as we heard from Paul Daner, Paul Gunther, their defensive coordinator, is not going to throw a lot of complex things at the Steelers. That's not what they do. That's not their style. They have guys up front, starting with Geno Atkins, who's just an absolute beast again, and one of the best in the game. They can get pressure with their four. They historically have. They have a linebacker in Perfect who can go sideline to sideline, and he's a vicious, ferocious linebacker, as everybody in Pittsburgh knows. And then they're going to play the high shell, the cover two, most of the time. And they've got high pedigree corners. And William Jackson, Dave, I haven't seen enough of William Jackson to have a sense of how well he's playing this year. But the former first-round pick, he's very fast. You know, he's recovered from this knee injury he had last year. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge for the Steelers defense. And I think, you know, when we've seen a Steelers offense, I think when we've seen them be successful in the past, they have at times run the ball down the Bengals' throats. And I expect that to be the game plan again. Look, it's not going to be one or the other. They want to be a balanced offense. And I thought they did a pretty good job of that against the Chiefs, even though they weren't able to connect on the big passing plays and some of the third down plays. But that's the type of thing I expect again to attack this Bengals team. And it's somewhat still bewildering to me that Eli Rogers gets zero targets in the Bears game. He gets, you know, then benched for two games, and he gets zero targets in this last game, and I think only 17 snaps. I still think that's an opportunity for the Steelers to use the middle of the field with Eli Rogers.
Boy, that Geno Atkins versus David DeCastro / Pouncey matchup is going to be fun
just
to watch.
Put a ISO camera on those guys.
We already talked about going back through the tape, they're playing a little less too deep shell than they have played in the past. The thing that they do so well is pre-snap of showing you safety creeping down in the box, and then right prior to the snap of the football, dropping them back They'll show you one safety look and then move that into two deep. They have no issue kind of sugaring those gaps and making you think you're going to see pressure in both of your A gaps there, and then dropping out and still only dressing rushing four there. They just, you know, they're very, very sound. And when you have a defensive coordinator that's been there, been around the team as long as Gunter has, and you know your personnel, and you don't have a high turnover, huge turnover there defensively and personnel, you know, you're allowed to kind of go season to season without skipping a beat there. It'll be interesting to see. We've seen the Steelers team be able to run that counter on the Bengals in the past, okay? But sometimes they get away from it as well, too, and you kind of wonder why. If you get situations and it's not an obvious pass down and you get a guy like Carl Lawson in the game there, I think you got to take your shots and make him show that he can defend that kind of stuff, and make a guy like strong side to Nick Vigil over there try to work him. But yeah, I'm with you. I think the Steelers will be able to stretch the field once or twice in this game, but I'll be surprised if they're able to make a living at it throwing a deep ball in this game. So I think you're going to have to work the dink and the dunk here. This is a game, too, where I think you can use Le'Veon Bell a whole heck of a lot on those choice routes out of the backfield there and make those linebackers, those inside linebackers work. So run the football, even if you're not running it too terribly well. Maybe try to get Vance McDonald involved as much as you can early in the game to try to get the Bengals thinking about him, having to cover him. And then, yeah, you know, try to work your short to intermediate passes with Eli Rogers, you know, a slant here and there to Brown and to Bryant when the defense shows it. And then, of course, the out routes outside the numbers. That should be there a lot in this game, is the out routes.
I imagine you enjoyed it. I'd be interested to hear what our listeners thought. I mean, so Tony Romo talked extensively about what the Steelers did to the Chiefs. We always hear the term copycat league. Tony talked about that and said, look, this is what the Raiders are doing. They're just following up on what the Steelers were able to exploit. And he just talked about, if you didn't see this game, it was a great football 101 lesson about what a quarterback looks at in a defense. And it was, you know, are they the Chiefs like to play cover one. And it's one of the things I think why the Steelers have been able to exploit them in the past. Ben likes that. He likes with the receivers the Steelers have. He likes to see the other team in man. And so Tony was talking particularly late in the game about playing the cover two, or were they going to come down and walk the safety down into the box so it was a one high look where you'd have more man coverage, and whether you throw outside the numbers or inside the numbers depending on what that singular safety was doing. Dave, that was really interesting stuff. For people who follow the game closely, it wasn't kind of groundbreaking stuff, but it forced, as somebody pointed out, it forced the camera guys to show the secondary rather than kind of close-ups of the quarterback, which was really fun to see, which is kind of the look you get on all 22, or if you're in the stadium, you can see that stuff. Did you enjoy that, and do you expect kind of that to be a similar thing that we'll see from the Bengals in this game?
Oh, yeah, I think those rules are rules, you know, concerning that. And that's and Todd Haley talked about, he was asked about it more specifically, what happened in the red zone the other game against the Chiefs there, about, look, Ben has the liberty based on what he sees to change the play. It's not like they just put in one play and that's what's run. There's check two plays based on X and Y, and that's what makes some of your better quarterbacks the better quarterbacks, the ability to decipher not only what they see pre-snap, but what they think is going to happen post-snap to get the offense into the right play based on the personnel that's on the field versus the personnel that's on the field. It's such a huge, huge chess match that goes on down to down. And yeah, you talk about Romo's analysis. A fan can turn on after this season's over, go through every Tony Romo game called, and learn so much about the X's and O's of what quarterbacks see and how offenses should attack defenses just by watching his game analysis alone. So Like I said, they played, it seems like they played a little less too high this year. And on top of it, they do such a great job at disguising their coverages. Now, with a guy like, let's suppose that Pac-Man's not able to play, are you really going to put those cornerbacks on that big of an island, you know?
I'm interested to see. Like I said, I haven't seen enough of William Jackson. I'm curious as to how they're going to approach that and how the Steelers will attack it. You have to think the Steelers are going to make a concerted effort to try and get some of these other receivers more involved. And, you know, people are going to say it's a reaction to Martavis if that's the case. I don't know. You know what? I doubt that that's going to be, you know, they have been trying, I think, to get Martavis more involved. So I think it would be more coincidence than anything. And I just mentioned Eli Rogers. So we'll see. But, you know, look, they're fortunate and in a unique situation to have maybe the two best players at their positions on the same team. Having said that, that should create tons of opportunities for the other guys. So we'll see if this is the weekend we see some more diversity from the offense.
I think when you have some, if you get a guy like William Jackson in there in this game, you've got to do things that stresses him. You know, switch routes and those kind of things. Things that make him think.
Make decisions. Force him to make decisions.
Right. Things, bunches on his side if they're running any pattern reading. Right. I mean, I think you really, really need to test his IQ. And look, say what you will about, you know, Dre Kirkpatrick. I don't want to take anything away from Dre Kirkpatrick, but we've seen him make some kind of mental breakdowns, I think, over the years. And I really think in order for the Steelers to win this game, I think Martavis has to have five or six catches with one or two being pops over the top. I really think they're going to have to, an explosive play or two or three off of deep balls thrown more than 15 yards down the field have to be completed in this game. And that's why I have a feeling if the Steelers win this game that we're talking about how the inside linebackers for the Bengals and William Jackson were the root of the weakness of that defense.
Okay, I'll give you that. I mean, it'll be interesting, you know, inside with Perfect being.
And hey, even if Adam Jones plays, that back ain't right.
So, well, right. I mean, you know, he didn't dress for practice Thursday. That tells you a lot. So, you know, if he's on the field, you know, maybe you want to take a shot at him. Big picture, couple things. One is this is a massively important game, obviously, in the AFC North, but in the AFC overall. And I would imagine if you're a team that's not the Patriots and probably not the Chiefs, you're probably rooting for the Steelers to win this game. Because there is a logjam with the win last night. There, if I did my counting right, now obviously the Raiders, now there's some teams have had byes and some haven't, and the Raiders have played their Week 7 game. But there are 9 teams in the AFC: the Bills, the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Bills and the Dolphins have only played 5 games. The Ravens, the Jags, the Texans, the Titans, the Broncos, they've only played 5 games, and the Raiders, they've played 7 games. There are 9 teams with 3 wins in the AFC. So if you're not the Chiefs or the Patriots, I think you're probably rooting for the Steelers to win this game to lessen the logjam, because somebody's going to win the AFC North. And if the Steelers win this game, Dave, I don't want to say you can put the AFC North in the books, but you can put the AFC North in the books. It's over, because the Browns are out of it. The Bengals would be they would be 3.5 games behind the Steelers with a loss. The Ravens will be at, you know, at least a game back with a loss. I don't see it. I really think this is the game if the Steelers win, even though it's only, you know, we'd be 7 games into the season. I think you can put a dagger in the AFC.
Boy, 3-0 in the division. The 3-0 in the division, thinking that you would at least get one, maybe two more wins.
And two of those on the road, for whatever it's worth.
Right. You know, that would be pretty huge for sure. Look, my, you know, as far as that log jam goes, I mean, this morning I wrote an article, a short piece about, yeah, the Steelers, if they win this week, they would seize control of the AFC, yada, yada. But it's too early to worry about the log jam because you still got a lot of key games coming. You know, look, next week, next Thursday, Miami at Baltimore, right? I mean, you're going to start having some of these teams play each other.
Well, right. All these other teams need to win their own games. But I think they'd probably prefer, you know, just like last night, we both asked the question, Steeler fans, who are you rooting for? And look, I understand that 90% of Steeler fans were rooting for the Raiders for obvious reasons. But you can make an argument, you know, if the Steelers were to lose this game on Sunday, you'd rather see the Chiefs win that game just for the same reason I was talking about the Steelers. Somebody's going to win the AFC West. So let the Chiefs run away with it and beat up on the other team so that they're not in there. I mean, I don't think the Raiders are a big threat because I think they're weak defensively. But, you know, if the Steelers don't win on Sunday, they're 4-3 and they're in the same morass that everybody else is in.
Just win, baby.
Just win, baby. It's exactly right. I want to just touch on a couple things of that Chiefs game too. Let me ask you a question. As Tyreek Hill put himself in, I think he's one of the 20 most dangerous players in the NFL. Is he not one of the 20 best receivers in the NFL?
Yeah, I don't know about that, but he sure is dangerous anytime he has the football in his hands. So
he's getting better as a receiver. I mean, he's really leaps and bounds.
I tell you one thing he needs to stop doing, though, is he needs to stop taking them pops.
Boy, one of those times when his helmet comes off, his head's going to be in it.
Trick or treat.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Roosevelt Nick's tattooed him along that sideline the other, last Sunday. And I forget that. Who was it that popped him after that pass on the sideline just last night? And then what was it? Marcus King, the punter that damn near ripped his head off?
Marcus King, yeah.
On that one, Marquette King.
You worry about
guys like that, and you know.
Hopefully he's Gumby, and his flexibility means that none of those are going to be squared up and hurt him. But I mean, Rosie Nick's got him pretty square. A lot of people thought he'd be in concussion protocol and not come back for this Thursday game, but fortunately for him and the Chiefs, he was able to play and he was good. Okay, two, Marshawn Lynch. I mean, we don't see that very often. Straight sprint onto the field and then kind of jog back off the field. Obviously, he was getting ejected, and good for the refs for seeing that he had come on the field. Is that it? I saw you retweet something that somebody said that's not a suspendable offense. Is he going to get suspended? I mean, hands on an official and running on the field?
I don't know. That was from Football Zebras, and those guys know their stuff generally. So
he's a knucklehead.
You think? Yeah, that elevator, of course. I mean, I can, who am I to talk? That elevator don't go all the way to the top floor there. If it's anybody other than Marcus Peters, who's like a brother to him, is he out there doing that?
Yeah, that's a good point. I wasn't even thinking about that. And, if you heard the report that he left the game, got dressed and left the game, he actually went and watched it in the stands. Two totally different things. So, okay, I don't have any problem with that because he's not allowed to be on the sideline. So he's probably better to be in the stands than in the locker room. I don't know. Marcus Peters is a bit of an enigma. He's had his, obviously his college history. He's generally perceived as one of the top five corners probably in the league right now. Although, when I like the fact I like going against Marcus Peters if I have a good quarterback because he's a guy who'll take risks and do things. How about the crazy touchdown, the AB karma reverse?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how many times has Alex Smith should have, could have, would have been intercepted? Over the last 3 weeks or whatnot. It's amazing. It's obviously the numbers are going to get, the probability factor is going to get them sooner or later. But it's amazing that they're still looking for their first turnover since play one of the regular season there. I mean, that's just astounding there. One thing we haven't talked about this upcoming Bengals Steelers game is the Bengals on offense and how the Steelers are going to deal with that. I understand that the Bengals have improved under Bill Lazor as an offensive coordinator, but they're still not there. That offense, you know, that offense runs pretty much right now through AJ Green. And Mixon's done some nice things, but they still, David, they haven't run the ball great at all consistently this season. Obviously, not having Tyler Eifert hurts them. Is Brandon LaFell really, is he just a guy? You know, I think so. John Ross, it doesn't look like he's going to play. Boyd, it doesn't look like he's going to play in this game. I expect, and you know what, probably one of your favorite underrated players in the league, David, Giovanni Bernard.
Yeah.
I know you're fond of him, or have been in the past. This is a guy that I think they aren't utilizing enough, and I think the Steelers could be vulnerable to him out of the backfield in this game. So, you know, if I'm the Steelers, I'm concerned about Dalton trying to get the ball to some of these misdirection screens or whatnot, getting the ball in the hand of Bernard and Mixon out in space. I think if I'm the Bengals, that's my top priority. Additionally, we don't expect the Steelers to follow guys around. You know, that's just something they don't do. Artie Burns will stay on his right. Joe Hayden will stay on his left. Hayden has had some, I don't know if you saw the post, the breakdown that I did going back to, you know, throughout their entire careers. Hayden has had some good success against AJ Green so far during his career. And, you know, really we only have one season to look at AJ Green versus Burns. And if you remember, Cockrell spent a lot of time on AJ Green, you know, kind of recently here. So if I'm the Bengals, I maybe try to work AJ Green against Artie Burns as much as possible in this game. And they move AJ Green around quite a bit as well too. So imagine, you know, they'll put him in a slot, and I would try to use AJ Green as much as I can out of the slot as well too. So you cannot let AJ Green catch 9-10 passes for 100 yards in this game. You can let
that's all they get. You know, if that's it. If it's AJ gets 9 and no touchdowns for 100 yards. I mean, we've seen a couple of those games, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, I would be happier with 9 or 10 catches for 79 yards.
Sure, sure. No 48-yard touchdowns, no, you know.
Yeah, not over the top over Antoine Blake.
Over Troy and Ryan Clark looking into the sun.
and look, you just can't let Andy Dalton have that time. I mean, he's been doing a good job, I think, of getting the football out of his hands quickly. I would expect that kind of stuff to continue with him. They should, and you know, put that in quotation marks and circle it, they should be able to handle the Bengals' running game this week. If you don't give up big plays, you know, something that they did well, you know, against the Chiefs there, against arguably probably one of the game's top backs right now in Kareem Hunt. Get them into situations where Andy's got to throw to the chains, you know. And here's another thing. How many times this season, and it seems to be, I don't know if it's just because we follow the Steelers closer, how many times have we seen quarterbacks convert on second and third in long situations?
Too many. Alex Smith got out of the pocket late in that game, and all of a sudden the game was dramatically different.
Didn't Brunell do one on a second down in 10 or 12 deep in his zone?
You just gave a Mark Brunell.
Look, Andy.
Blake Bortles.
what did I say? Did I say Mark Brunell?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Look at me. And we've seen Andy Dalton not be afraid to take off. Andy Dalton's had some nice long, I think a couple rushing touchdowns and some conversions on design runs against the Steelers as well. So if I'm the Steelers, you have to be worried about Andy Dalton taking off a couple times. I think you got to watch those running backs out of the backfield, and then you know, you just can't let AJ Green have an AJ Green fantasy day. You know, if you do those things, force a turnover or two along the way, you should be fine there. This could be, make no mistake about it, this is going to be one of those, I think, Steelers-Bengals games that we might be talking about for a little while.
All right, let's get into our picks for the week. I wasn't here last Friday, but I gave Dave my picks. Am I making up any ground? I lost one last night.
Yeah, you're not making up much. Hope you don't have
There's a lot of the season to go. Let's not start chirping after week six.
the man probably owns your car right now.
Yes, yeah. Little do you know. all right. 1 o'clock, Tennessee at Cleveland. Cleveland plus 5.5. Mariota went last week. He'll go this week. Dave, I'll lead things off here. Mary Kay Cabot wrote a kind of scathing indictment of the Browns, which I thought was a little bit too much like I've got a vendetta against the organization. I think she made some very good points in the article, and I thought she was way, way out over her skis on a couple of the other points that she made. But, you know, time's going to tell. And one thing that she knows certainly better than virtually anybody is whether there's a rift in the front office versus the coaching staff. And she seems to suggest there is, which is never a good sign. So having said all that, I'll go against it all and take the Browns plus 5.5. Myles Garrett's been good. Kizer gets his opportunity to be back in at quarterback.
Boy, I thought during that game the other night, I thought I would have pulled Mariota and put Castle in. And good thing I don't coach. This game scares me from the man standpoint. That 5.5 number, weird. And being as how we're using that one, I'm going to go with the Browns. I think the Titans win this, but give me the Browns. I'm with you. Take the points.
Colts plus 3 hosting the Jags. And boy, I mean, you know, what do you make it? What do you make of Jacoby Brissett? What do you make of the Jags? The Jags have been as good as any team when they're good and as bad as any team when they're bad. I think they go on the road and win here in Indy. I'm not a buyer of the Colts. I am a buyer of the Jags defense for sure and their running game. So I think they do enough. I'll lay the 3 on the road.
Yeah, just that I think that defense alone should be enough to put Jacksonville in a good position to win this game. So I'll take the Jags on the road plus or minus the 3 as well too.
Interesting. Both the Ravens and the Steelers are playing 5.5 line games, which again, we've seen 3 of them here in the early games. That's not a typical line, as people know. It means that Vegas isn't quite sure which way to go. They're going to let the public push it. Dave, the Ravens getting 5.5 in Minnesota. You know, I just don't think this Ravens team's that good. They will get Dan Williams back, Brandon Williams back for this game at nose tackle. That'll help them, slow down the running game. But I like the Vikings at home, and I'm going to give the 5.5. And like I said, if the Steelers win and the Ravens lose this game, book the AFC North title.
You know, that Vikings defense alone is why I like this game, I think.
Top ranked by Pro Football Focus in the league.
Yeah, I think in the Baltimore's had their issues on offense this year and some guys banged up and I think the Vikings roll this one. I think they win it by a touchdown. So give me the Vikings at home, lay those 5.5.
Surprising line in Miami, the Dolphins minus 3 hosting the Jets. At the beginning of the season, this line probably would have been 9. The Jets have played much better than anybody anticipated. Josh McCown's been good. You know, they got obviously got a bit jobbed in the game hosting New England last week. The Dolphins, for all the criticism they take, their defense is flying around playing good, really good football. I think they're second. Both these teams are in the top in the league in points against, so both their defenses have been good. Cutler brings it back from 17-0 down at Atlanta last week, so they've got the momentum. I'll take the Dolphins minus 3 at home.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with this one either. Man, I really don't know what to do with this one. Okay, being as it's in Miami, I'll lay those points.
Okay, do you have a line for Tampa Buffalo?
What's on the board right now at a few places, CG Technology minus 4 and Bet Online minus 3. So you want to split the difference and go Buffalo minus 3.5?
Sure. Bills minus 3.5 at home against Tampa. I think the Bills are good. I think Tampa's been one of the disappointments so far. That's kind of a bummer because I like the Bucs, and I was expecting more. I thought they were going to win that game against New England at home. This is a big game for both teams. Give me the team with the guy we know is going to play quarterback. The Bills have the best scoring defense in the NFL. If the Bucs don't have Winston, I think it's not close. But I'll lay 3.5.
Boy, we've been step for step for each other so far in all these, haven't we?
I think so.
Both had the Browns, both had the Jags, both had the Vikings, both had the Dolphins there. And obviously the question in this game is Jameis Winston. But, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick's been around the block, you know, quite a few times here. I'll go against you with this. I think the Buccaneers can go on the road and win this. So give me the Bucs plus the 3.5 here.
I'll be watching that game. That's one I'm interested in. The Panthers at the Bears, and I think the Bears have everybody a little bit confused. They're better defensively than people thought. Their running game's good. Trubisky was a non-factor in that Ravens game, but they won anyway. Their special teams was a disaster. They should have put that game away a lot earlier. And Carolina is another team up and down, really tough to get a read on. Christian McCaffrey, 37 catches out of the backfield already. Dave, again, tough one here. It's a coin flip. I wouldn't touch it, but let me say that somebody who should beat the Bears finally beats the Bears, and I'll take the Panthers.
What are you showing, 3?
3.
Yeah. I'll take the Panthers as well. I just think they're the better team.
Detroit and Houston are on the bye this week, by the way. Cards-Rams, 1 o'clock game, another game. This is in London. It's in so – I'm showing a 1 o'clock start. Is that right, Dave? Is it a 1 o'clock kickoff or is it a 10 o'clock kickoff?
Cards-Rams showing 1. Is that 1 local time?
I don't know. It's 1 Eastern, which means it's 7 p.m., either 6 or 7, depending on what time they're on right now in London. Another game that I'm very entertained to watch. I hope I get to see some of this one. I love what the Rams are doing. And Larry Fitzgerald's having a great year, and good that Adrian Peterson did some good things. But I'm officially on the Rams bandwagon. Give me the Rams minus 3.5.
Yeah, boy, Wade Phillips doing a great job with that defense so far. They're going to get after Carson Palmer in this. I think Carson might end up throwing a couple of picks in this one. And, you know, as long as the Rams don't turn the ball over, they should be able to do some of the things they've done all season on offense. I'm with you. I'll take the Rams and lay those 3.5.
Okay. Next one is 4 o'clock start. Cowboys, Niners in San Francisco. San Francisco plus 6. Ezekiel Elliott's going to play. I mean, I'm not sure he's not better. I mean, he's trying to clear his name, so I get the point here. Dallas's offense got the same issues the Steelers have had. They have not been able to get it together on the ground. Dax actually played okay, but they haven't put up the points. 49ers, C.J. Beathard. I assume he's getting a start, right, Dave? Is C.J. Beathard starting this one after what he did last week?
Yeah, he's the guy right now.
I can't bet on that. Give me the Cowboys minus 6.
Yeah, I'm with you. Cowboys easy for me.
Seahawks minus 4.5 at the Giants. The Giants lose all the receivers and play their best offensive game of the year. Give me the Seahawks minus 4.5.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that defense versus the Giants. They should be able to run this. So give me the Seahawks as well.
Broncos, Chargers, pick them in L.A. Give me Simeon was terrible last week. He's not terrible. He's not great. But give me the Broncos, although Chargers are due to win a game here.
Yeah, give me the Chargers to win that game.
The 8:30 Sunday night game, a good one. Falcons go to New England. New England minus 3. Boy, would it be big if the Falcons went in there. They need a win. Whoever loses this game is going to be in trouble. Is probably not the right word. Well, for the Falcons, it might be trouble. For the Patriots, it's going to raise a lot of eyebrows. Give me the Falcons plus 3, Dave.
I'm with you. Boy, that Patriots defense has had problems this year with the pass. I think Matt Ryan will be able to pick them apart in this one. I think that the Falcons defense will be able to get out, push, do some things right for a longer period of time. Brady might drive him close, but I not close enough there. I give me the Falcons to win this one straight up.
We had a great Thursday night game, and we got great Sunday and Monday night games. Falcons, Patriots Sunday, Redskins at Eagles Monday. I'll take Cousins over Wentz because I'm getting 4.5, but I'm looking forward to this one as well.
Wow. I think the Washington defense might ultimately be the difference in this one. So, yeah, give me Washington plus the 4.5 as well.
Okay, Dave, Steelers minus 5.5.
Hey, you forgot New England, Green Bay. New Orleans, Green Bay.
Where did I miss that one? I just skipped right over that. Sorry, 1 o'clock. Yeah, well, there's another good one. Okay, this is crazy because if this line, if Aaron Rodgers was playing, this would be the Packers minus like 5. And instead, it's the Packers plus 4. So they put 9 points on Aaron Rodgers. Not that I don't think he's the best football quarterback in football, but this is value here for the Packers. You have to take the Packers plus 4. And this, even though the Saints defense is getting better.
I'm with you on this. I think the Packers defense can make this a little bit closer there. I'm not a huge Brett Hundley fan, but he does have some receiving weapons there that you still have to respect. So give me Packers plus the 4.
Okay, wrapping it up. Steelers minus 5.5. I'm tired of saying the Steelers offense is ready to do something. So I'll just, kind of go with what we've been going with. I don't love the cover here. I think the Steelers win this game. I'd love to see a blowout. I do think the Steelers defense, well, I'm pretty sure the Steelers defense is the real deal, although Artie Burns scared the hell out of me last week. So give me the Steelers just missing the cover, a 24-19 win with the late Bengals touchdown and missed two-point conversion making the difference for them. Getting into the cover, but not making it a one-score game.
I tell you, third down conversions and turnovers are going to be the difference in this game for sure. This is going to be a rock'em sock'em game. The over-under on this is, 40.5? I don't think they come close to that. I had the Steelers just eking this one out by a late field goal by Chris Boswell. 17-16, so that means I'm taking the Bengals plus the points.
All right, we're both on the Bengals. All right, well, good fun game last night. We'll see what the weekend brings.
All right, and as always, folks, we'll have content throughout the weekend on SteelersDepot.com. You can follow me on Twitter at SteelersDepot. Follow David Todd. Oh, we're running a special, David, for the rest of the month of October. All content on Steelers Depot will be free the rest of the month.
Hey, we should run a poll on Steelers Depot. Do you like the new intro or not? I don't know if we can do that, but give us some feedback on the intro because we're getting some mixed feedback. And if the answer is no, tell us what you'd like. What's ideal aside from nothing? Give us a thought.
All right. Follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the cause, you can go to SteelersDepot.com, hit that donate button up right navigational bar. And David, here's to hoping. Boy, a lot of trends need to. Steelers, 0-3 versus teams coming off their bye. Is it entering, regular season bye this week, and the Bengals haven't been great, or they've been very inconsistent coming off of their own bye as well. So here's to hoping we're talking about.